Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers join together to solve problems. We're sort of like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're both charming enough, and if you're a fan of our larger shared content universe, you sort of have to engage, but it definitely doesn't need to be as long as it is. I am one half of that podcast, student of life and several adult Zoom classes, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, the showman Soren Bowie. Soren, give us the old razzle dazzle.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie, writer for American Dad, homeschool TK teacher, and famous, I would say, at my local batteries and bulb store for being splashy with the tips I throw out each time I drop off dead batteries. See, you keep those palms greased and you'll never have to recycle your own batteries again. That's my motto.
Batteries and bulbs store?
Yeah, so I got some weird niche stores in my neighborhood, and I'm thankful that some of them have survived the pandemic. But like, we lost an aquarium store, an antique guns and swords store, but there's a store called Batteries and Bulbs that is just that. It only sells batteries and light bulbs. And I try to keep them in business with whatever I can. So I do all my battery and bulb shopping there. And then in addition, I've figured out a situation in which I can drop off all my dead batteries there. I went there once, tried to get batteries. The guy charged me for the wrong type of battery and said that, and it was going to give me basically too good of a deal. And I was like, no, this is not those batteries. This is a different kind. He was like, oh, wow. Thank you. And was just so charmed by the fact that I had not swindled him that then he, after that point, he's like, what's your name? And then recognized me. And so now what I do is I called him and I was like, hey, can I drop off some dead batteries? And they're like, they actually charge us to take those, but you know what? You're a good customer. Come on in. And now I bring all my dead batteries there and I do this cool mafia thing where I put some money in the paper bag with my dead batteries. And I'm like, oh, how did that get there? See you later.
That is a cool mafia thing.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. Get 10% off plus free shipping and get your butt clean at hellotushy.com/QQ.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of premium membership. I have a quick battery story that's not as interesting.
Go for it.
Do you want it?
Yeah, absolutely. Batteries are my life now.
So for Christmas this year, my parents got both of my brothers a product called Battery Daddy. Are you familiar with Battery Daddy?
I have no idea what Battery Daddy is.
It's convenient as all get out. It's this large case with like slots that fit every conceivable battery you could ever need. So it's just so you don't need to put the batteries in like the battery drawer like I've done my entire life. There's like a case, like a tackle box, but specifically for batteries, and it's like that's where the D's go, that's where the C's go, etc. And then a little bin for like those lithium like watch batteries, disc batteries, and whatnot.
Yeah.
And got it for both of my older brothers, and famously not me. Oh, and this thing also like comes with a tester to see if your batteries are
that's
charged.
That's what I was gonna ask. Okay.
Yeah, it has that. And he gave it to both my brothers, and on Christmas Day, I was like publicly very happy for them, but inside I was like, this is because I'm not an actual daddy. I'm the only one of the three sons who is childless, and I haven't earned my battery daddy yet.
That's a weird
it hurts, but that's fair. I get that, and then my dad got me one like 2 months later, so I have one now, and I was so happy when I saw it, and he thought I was joking for how happy I was, because like after Christmas I complained to my brother about not having one, and then when he gave me one and I took a picture and I sent it to my brother like finally, he was like, are you kidding? And I was like, no, I really wanted one of these and I didn't know why I didn't get one. And I was pretty upset about it. And he's like, oh, it's because it is tied to them having kids, but not in a, like, this is only for daddies sort of way. Right. It's just they didn't assume that I have as many scattered batteries in my life as two fathers would, which is a reasonable assumption to make.
Yeah, so the thing that comes about when you have young children is that you have tons of toys that require batteries and, like, media centers and things like that, like little things that they play with that with twists and knobs on it that I am just like surrounded by batteries now in my life. So I get it. You shouldn't feel too badly about that. You maybe have like what? You've got a flashlight, I want to say?
I have so many flashlights.
Okay. Okay. Well, battery daddy's for you then. Can you test any kind of battery you want in the battery tester?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. I haven't checked.
Oh, God, I want a battery tester so bad. But, you know, sounds expensive.
I don't know. It was a gift, and it's gauche to ask. But speaking of things that aren't gauche to ask, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or actually, I don't know if it's a question. It's certainly not quick. Look how long this has taken so far. What? I'm gonna tell you something I did, and you tell me if it's weird.
Yeah, I love these.
Okay. So you know how I've been taking adult Zoom cooking and dance classes?
Yes, thank you. It is weird. It is weird.
Oh, that's not the part. Okay.
Oh.
You sign up for these events. They're through my apartment building, and then they kick back a survey, just like a general survey for participants, an allegedly anonymous survey, where they're like, hey, fill this out if you want. And if you enter the survey, you enter in a chance to win a $200 gift card. So I filled out the survey with things like, yes, I enjoyed these classes. I didn't like this part. Here's my feedback. Send in the survey. And then on the website where you fill out the survey, they have a general, like, if you have any questions, email info@blahblahblah.com. So I emailed them and I said, hello, the survey email from the events team mentioned the completed surveys will be entered into a drawing to win a $200 gift card. I was wondering when the drawing would be held and when the winner would be announced. Best, Daniel.
And did you get a response?
I did, yeah. Do you think it's weird that I emailed them?
No. In fact, like it.
Yeah. So they got back to me. And she said, hi, Daniel. Thanks for reaching out. The drawing will be held and winner announced next Friday, April 16th. If you have any other questions, please let me know. Thanks again.
Okay. And then what happened?
April 16th. Hello. Was the winner announced? Did I miss it? Hi, Daniel. Thank you for reaching out. We emailed the winner individually on Friday, as opposed to a mass announcement to all residents. Unfortunately, the name drawn was not yours. Thank you again for taking the time to fill out the survey and provide us with valuable insight and feedback. Hope to see you at an event soon.
Okay, did you respond?
April 19th. I figured I never win anything. In the future, and this is just a tiny, humble, and fun suggestion, it might be interesting to celebrate the winners in some public fashion to both motivate other people to participate in future events and build trust in the contest itself. There's a reason most contests broadcast their winners. It's inspiring. I've done a few of these surveys before and haven't seen any winners announced. I understand if people want their privacy, but even something as simple as congratulations to our winner, John, no last name provided, would go a long way towards establishing contest integrity. Like you, I want more events, surveys, and winners in the future, and I think this would be a great step in that direction. Just a thought, Daniel.
Oh, man, you are just 72 years old.
Thank you for the thought. I agree that celebrating the winners publicly would foster engagement and build trust in the survey raffles. I'll be sure to run the idea by marketing before the next survey raffle offered. Thanks again. Best, her name. P.S. I never win anything either. Better luck to us both in the future.
Ooh.
And that's where the exchange ends. An exchange that began on April 7th and ended April 19th.
But another open door through commiseration, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Just a couple of losers.
Yeah.
Optimistic losers.
Yes. Who now have each other's email addresses.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess my twin questions are, was any bit of that weird?
Okay.
And also, do you think this contest actually happened?
Yeah, so I mean, like... The reason I'm like laughing all the way through it is that I know your thought process at every single stage of it. But I have a question to begin it. The gift card, did they say what type of gift card it was, or did they just say a gift card for $200?
It was $200 towards rent, like towards the building.
Okay. That was going to be a red flag for me, is that they were just like, you could win a $200 gift card, because that feels very much like what a non-commercial operation would do, where they'd be like, hey, we need your feedback. Like, we'll give you a $200 gift card. And just hearing the words gift card is enough to drive some interaction. But I thought, ooh, that's a red flag. They're not even telling you what it's for.
They didn't say like Amazon or Visa, because then I could shoot back and be like, I called Visa. Right? They've never even heard of you.
Right. Now, the fact that it's for the building still is kind of a red flag. And she said that they were going to be announced, but then she said they announced them privately. There's no such thing as announcing something privately.
No.
That's an oxymoron. I love that you followed up on this, because because I'm not sure that it exists either. And I really like that you put your thumb on them until they admitted one way or another.
I was so desperately hoping that they were going to say, oh yeah, we announced someone, but it wasn't you. It was this very specific apartment number. Yeah. Because... I guess I should have included this in the do you think I'm weird category. There's a unit on my floor where someone moved out, and I've been going in that unit every day. There's no one in there, but it's unlocked, so I just figured I can go in there and walk around and look at stuff and sometimes like do little workouts. So I was hoping that she would
stop.
Shoot back.
No, stop. You can't. We can't just blow past that. You breaking and entering in your building to go do workouts in some vacant apartment.
It's not breaking and entering.
Are you invited in?
I don't know
in?
Why, but I feel like it's not breaking and entering because the door's unlocked.
Oh my God, Dan, that's not how it works.
I mean, I want to agree with you, but tell me how it works then. No one lives there. It's empty. I mean, it wasn't empty. I walked in there, and the first day I got spooked because I walked in there, and it was completely empty except for a car seat, like a baby's car seat, one of the bedrooms. And so I got spooked and ran away. But then I got brave the next day and came back, and the car seat's still there, but it didn't spook me enough to not do my push-ups.
Okay, I don't know how far back to start. Why can't you do push-ups in your own apartment?
So I got free weights to work out, and they're like old-fashioned looking dumbbells, okay. with like harsh bars and real metal plates on them and everything like that. They're not those mm-hmm. like softened by rubber things that you see in lots of gyms. Yeah. And I want to do stuff that has me kind of hitting them on the ground a little bit hard. And I don't want to do that in my nice apartment and like maybe damage my floors. So I got all this more space and a quiet spot where I can do my workouts and not worry about the floors and not worry about my dog getting confused about what I'm doing.
So you break into an apartment to go fuck up the floors each day.
We're not... Listen, I want to be clear. We are not using the words break into an apartment. That is what you are doing.
Yes.
So I'm not agreeing to the first part of this. Fair enough. Go into a door that is open, and open doors means that you're allowed in. So I go in there and I try not to fuck up the floors, but if it happens, it happens. And we don't know if I'm doing it. It could be that the baby ghost...
The baby ghost is mad at the floors.
Yeah. But so anyway, I was really hoping that the woman with the events team would be like, oh, good news. It was the winner. It's not you. It was the person in unit 501. And I could be like, aha, there is no one in 501. Or like, aha, that's also me.
Yeah.
But
that's a baby ghost. But baby ghosts can't use money.
But they didn't do that. They didn't. The one unit I knew that was empty, they didn't pick that one, which was a real bummer for my trap.
Yeah, you're like a very yoked Encyclopedia Brown, getting strong in his headquarters that doesn't belong to him.
That series lasted for years and worked across different writers and illustrators, but no one was brave enough to talk about an Encyclopedia Brown who fucks until right now.
Are you also just hanging out in the apartment, or are you just going in there to work out?
You know, I'm hanging out in that apartment.
Oh, I thought so. I thought so. That's a problem, Dan.
Why?
It's because it's, well, I mean, just for like a social reason, it's weird. It's weird that you're going in there and you live off like a few doors down. If this was like somewhere that was closer to your office and you're like, you know what I do? Every day, right around lunchtime, I finish my lunch real quick. I go to this apartment that I know is open and I catch a few Z's. I know it's probably not right, but nobody's living there. I'm not hurting anybody. That's not what this is, though. This is.
It sounds so much weirder to sleep there.
I don't know. I mean, you're going in there to just like look out a window and then maybe do a workout.
You have so many options for stuff to do in your home. You can go outside in an outside that you own and control. You can go tend to your garden. You can hang out with one of two kids. You've got options there. You've got a wife that you can talk to and annoy and share things with and be happy and enjoy your life. And you've got a bunch of other rooms to explore. I've got my kitchen, living room / office, and my bedroom, and my bathroom.
Yeah,
and my dog is no company at all most of the time. I play bass, and then when I want to step away from the computer and not have to go through the whole rigmarole of getting on the elevator and going down and going outside, I just like get a brief change of scenery, pace around, and think about, you know, what I would do if I had this much space, what I would do with this unit, and then look out the windows for a different view than the window that I have.
If somebody came in there while you were in there, would you immediately feel the need to apologize for being there?
I would either be super chill about it, because I've been like practicing being chill and like not jumping if someone opens the door. So I'd just be like, hey, I knew this was empty and I wanted to see what the view was like, because I'm thinking of maybe getting one of these corner units. I'll leave now. But I'm also worried that I'll immediately fake an accent, like fake an Italian accent, and pretend I'm doing work of some kind.
I mean, but
it's harder to sell when I have my weights.
You have the weights with you.
Yeah. But I'm not like playing music or anything, which I think exonerates me somehow.
Yeah, you're in the clear then. That's, yeah, you know, those are the rules. Hey, everybody. I don't know if you listened to our last podcast, but I talked a lot about your mom's butthole and how great it is to just, for once, think about her butthole. She had to wipe your ass for years. She had to take care of you and clean up your excrement. She was your Hello Tushy for the first, I'm going to guess, 3.5 years of your life. And then that period when your parents got divorced and she was, you were wetting the bed a little bit and she had to help clean that up too. But I don't want to talk about your mom's butthole today. I want to talk about your mom's vagina, because if you pee on a Hello Tushy, you don't need to wipe then either. Or your mom doesn't. Your mom can get her just the right angle and it will just wash her vagina clean. Gift cards, flowers, that stuff is played out. Bring your mama into the future with the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Bidet Attachment. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and will help stop flushing her retirement down the toilet with TP costs. It costs the amount of water, the amount of money that I go into making toilet paper that you're now going to be saving. You're not only saving your mom's vagina and butthole, you're saving the earth. And if she's already got a Hello Tushy on her pot, this is like not her first rodeo, blow her away with an upgrade to the new Hello Tushy 3.0. If she is new to the revolution, have her join millions of Hello Tushy customers right now for a clean butt with every flush. Give the gift of a clean butt. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ. Okay, so you're fucking up the floor in this place. And now I know also that you're snooping, that you're going through everything there because you're interested.
There's nothing to go through. Everything's empty.
There's no cabinets, things like that?
The cabinets are empty. I know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I checked.
It's even fucking snooping.
I see.
Does the hot water work?
I didn't check the water.
Wow. Okay. Some serious restraint. I like that.
Yeah, because I feel like checking the water is too close a step to using the bathroom while I'm there. And that is a bridge too far to me. That feels like point of no return.
Have you used the lights?
Only the ones that are already on.
Okay. Okay. And is it staged? No, it's not. It's empty.
No.
Okay.
And it's a corner unit with floor-to-ceiling windows, so the natural light is hitting you, and it's great.
It's better than your apartment, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting a sense of why you're going there a little bit better, which is good, because I was worried, but...
Two-bedroom, two-bathroom, corner apartment, floor-to-ceiling windows. The floor's a little fucked up, but other than that, it's great.
No, that's a really important question. And, I mean, I'd really appreciate it if you answered honestly. Do you pretend like you live there sometimes?
No.
Okay, that's good.
And I would tell you if I did, but I don't.
That's good. I think that's good. Well, all right. Do you want to go back to the gift card? Because
I mean, I think you seem to like me more when we were just talking about the gift card. And then you've changed sides once you've learned more about me. So yes, I would like to at least live in the world where the gift card was our shared goal.
I recently, right before COVID, so I can't actually say recently, it was like a year ago, I would encounter the same crazy driver out on the road on my way to taking my son to school, which I think we've talked about before on this podcast. And like, I wanted nothing more than to find out where this guy lived and get him in trouble. Like, it was just, it became this, because he brake checked me once. We talked about brake checking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Scared me. I had my child in the car. And from that point on, he was a marked man. And so I get I get this a lot more in my later in life, where if I sense that there's an injustice happening, I'm like, well, I'll root it out. I'll figure out what it is, and someone will pay. There'll be a reckoning. So yeah. Like this, the fact that you did this is like scratching this very specific itch for me that I'm loving.
That okay. That's good.
You sense that it was a problem, that this was not a fair thing. Cause you don't want a $200 gift card. I mean, maybe that would be fine, but that's not why you did any of this.
No, absolutely not. It's not a life-changing amount of money at the moment, thankfully. But I genuinely want to ensure survey contest integrity, I guess. Right. Or I don't, like, if I'm being honest, I don't. I want to catch them in a lie that I know that they're doing.
Yeah. You want it to be wrong. You want them to be doing something bad.
I want them to say, good news, it's Department 501. And I'm like, you're basically busted because I've been shitting in 501 for weeks. And then be like, listen, this can't get out that the survey is Fugazi. So we're just going to give you
the apartment.
$200 gift card. Oh. And I'm like, oh, baby doll, the price has gone up.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
The price has gone up to the corner apartment and you will fix the floors, dear sir. Get that baby ghost out of there. But leave the car seat. I don't know.
I'm planning for the future.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, I hope it. I hope that you get back in touch with her and find out. Or here's another next step. How big is the? Are there just a ton of apartments?
Yes.
Fuck. Well, there must be some sort of communal group that does these Zooms, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can get that alias, you could track down the winner. And I think you could still do it in a very righteous way where, like, it doesn't look nefarious. It doesn't look like you're trying to catch anybody. You're just like, hey, I want to, like, celebrate whoever it is. I want them to know how excited I am for them.
I could absolutely ask the other fucking moms in my dance group if they want to meet up on Nextdoor or something like that. Something that the building doesn't control.
Yeah.
So we could just, chat without their moderation and then we can get straight to the bottom of this. Holy Hannah. That's great, Soren.
Gotta do it.
We're gonna blow this whole fucking thing sky high.
Get those moms on a WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Surely one of them could teach me.
And what? I mean, but you gotta prepare yourself. There's gonna be potentially a very sad moment where someone's gonna go, "Yeah, I won." And then you have to decide. Well, now do I have to investigate this person? Are they bought off by the building.
I think it's so incredibly generous of you to think that the sad moment is ahead and wasn't the prologue.
No, I want to do this. I have moments in my own life where I'm like, I should follow up. I should follow up. You know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. And I'm just so unsatisfied by those. I really appreciate that you have the wherewithal to go through with it.
Thank you. I'm trying to take some advantage of the fact that I have no office to go to and nothing to do but maintain these two apartments. I guess my job also.
God, it's hard being a dual property owner, huh?
I know.
You got to juggle and like, both.
No one's renting in the city now in COVID. Oi.
God, that's going to be a bad day, too, is that someday you're going to go there and the door's going to be locked.
I know, but that day wasn't today.
Now,
I can guarantee you that.
I have another question for you. Okay. If that door is locked someday, and you know that there's nobody else is living in there yet, have you already figured out another way in?
No. The key card system is pretty... ironclad here.
Well, I had a situation where for a while, in between jobs, when I didn't have a lot of money, where I was breaking into a school gym and working out there. And mm-hmm. at first it was very easy because I just went there and I said, hey, nobody's using it at this time. Could I just try it out for the day? And they're like, sure. And in doing so, I cased the joint and figured out that sure. they had these very high windows. And if I just cracked one, I could then get up high enough from the outside, reach in, and it was one of those twisty handle things. So all I had to do was reach in and twist it, and then I could climb up through this window when nobody was watching. And I knew no one was using this gym. And so every single morning before I would go job hunting or whatever, I would go use mm-hmm. this very kind of like remedial school gym. And then one day the window was locked. And it was such an affront to me because this is my gym. I belong here. You get a sense of ownership of these places that you are, and I will say, Dan, effectively breaking and entering.
I mean, I don't agree.
Okay. Does the law?
I think it's different because I'm being nice.
You're fucking up the floors and contemplating whether or not you should shit there.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, if I was caught, I would my lie would be better than all that.
Okay.
Like, I could leave the weights behind and the car seat and be like, don't mind me, I am just inspecting. The weights in the car seat were here. Bye-bye. And then I guess I'd have to move because I can't have them following me back to my apartment.
Right. You need an
Italian guy doesn't live in my apartment.
You just need a polo and a clipboard because if you're willing to do your workout in a polo shirt and some khaki shorts, then no matter what, if somebody comes in there and you have a clipboard and it looks at least like you some sort of uniform, nobody's going to question a thing.
Yeah, but I don't like to work out. I mean, I feel like...
I'm picturing you in there sleeveless. And yeah. There's just no outs. You don't have any outs there.
Okay.
Paint! Bring some paint in with you.
And now I got to get paint? Now I'm losing money on this second apartment? This is why people...
A paint can.
Yeah, how much does a paint can cost?
Oh, boy. I mean, nothing if you go find one, but... If you want some paint in it, it's an investment in your new property, Dan. Okay.
That's and how they get you.
You only got to bring it over once, and then it lives there. Boy, I just foresee this ending poorly for you. All right. Well, I think we should move on.
Sure.
I want to know if you ever have any more. Like, what happens with these Zoom moms?
Okay, I will let you know.
Zoom Zumba moms.
Skillshare! Witness your own transformation as you turn small steps into giant leaps. Skillshare makes it possible. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Practice makes progress. Advancing toward a goal is achievable with short lessons and hands-on projects. That's true. There's nothing better than getting better. That's also true. Accomplishing growth is extremely satisfying. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare has a lot of classes. If you guys have been listening, you know I've taken a bunch of them. The latest is YouTube Success, Script, Shoot, and Edit with MKBHD. I think our listeners are really going to like this. This class helps you turn your dreams of YouTube stardom into a reality with your instructor, Marquise Brownlee, aka MKBHD. He is the self-taught creator who grew his love of tech into a channel with 13 million subscribers and counting. And he is going to teach you all of his secrets. And you can do it with Skillshare. He's going to teach you how to shoot compelling content with whatever gear you have. He's going to help you edit your footage to grab and keep attention, to get that YouTube rhythm that really makes the algorithm sing. And he's going to help you, this is super important, grow your channel. Again, this class is YouTube Success, Script, Shoot, and Edit with MKBHD, also known as Marquise Brownlee. It's a great class. You can take it at Skillshare right now. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of premium membership. That's Skillshare.com/QQ.
I got a quick question for you.
Shoot.
When you were growing up, there were some rules that were like seemingly arbitrary from your parents and that drove you nuts when you were young. But now that you're older, like, are there any that you are glad that they used because they feel like they made you a better person? Like, I can give you an example of some from my own childhood. When I would go to a friend's house for the first time, my mom would insist on calling the friend's parents, not just to make sure that there'd be parents there, but to just talk to the parents so that they acknowledge that they know each other before I was allowed to go there. And I was like, what is this weird bureaucracy? Like, we don't have to do this step. It's dumb. After school, maybe I just want to go to Clay's house and that's fine. And she was like, no, you don't go to somebody's house unless I have talked to their parents, either in person or on the phone. And I hated it. And now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That was a really smart thing for her to do, because you acknowledge not only that my child is in your care during this time, but also you're saying to the person, I want to make sure there's no red flags here. Like, you know, you can check in with me. I seem like a pretty normal person. I'm just want to make sure that you're also a normal person before I send my kid over there.
Were any of the other families doing that?
No.
Did your friends give you any guff about it?
Yes. All the time.
That's tough.
Yeah. Where was it? So Jesse Johnson, friend of mine, his son of Don Johnson, there was one night for New Year's when I went to Jesse's house and I was so excited and we were going to drink. It was going to be cool. And we all, the alcohol was in Nalgene bottles, like big plastic water bottles.
Yeah.
And I'm like drinking. And all of a sudden this woman comes in who's like a caretaker on the ranch. And she's like, which one of you is Soren? Like, that's me. She's like, your parents have already called twice.
Oh shit.
It's like, and then everyone else the rest of the night, like that was the running joke. It was like, Soren's mom keeps checking in. Has she checked in yet? Is it New Year's? Who are you gonna kiss on New Year's, Soren? Your mom wants to know.
Oh, like, man, that kind of that's stuff. Great. So, that's such efficient bullying. That's great stuff. That's anyone else who was nervous about New Year's, what a load off for them when Soren's mom called a second time. Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and it happened, you know, all the way from when I was, I think my first sleepover at 6, all the way up until I was 17 years old and left for college.
That's too late.
Yeah, well, like, they would call if I was going to go to a party or anything. They'd be like, well, are there going to be parents there? I'd be like, yeah. All right, well, then give me the phone number and we'll call them and find out. Don't you trust me, Mom and Dad? No. No, they don't.
Yeah, they were despite wise not to.
How I had earned it. Or I had never done anything that they conceivably knew or that they had against me. You know, there was no evidence that I had lied to them.
Yeah, you're on paper
but
very
they
good.
Didn't trust me. Yeah, I look good. Maybe juke some stats, but I look good.
I didn't have that exact thing. My parents insisted on other parents being at whatever house I was going to, but it was also like it was an honor system thing. Like I wasn't going to go swimming in my friend's pool if there wasn't a mom or dad around, and I would tell them if there wasn't a mom or dad around. Like they wouldn't call anyone, but I was such a natural born narc that I would I have memories of going to my friend's house who had a pool, getting there, seeing his parents left on some parent agenda, and then I called my mom and was like, "Hey, there's no parents here. Can I still swim?" "No, come home." "Yeah, I figured. All right, see you soon." And then I went home. But a thing that they raised us to do that I'm really happy they raised us that I balked at the time is whenever I called a friend to speak to them on the phone, to hang out, whatever it was going to be, even if I thought the voice on the other end of the phone, because this was before everyone had cell phones and before everyone even had like private lines in their homes, it was just one line for the household. If I knew it was my buddy Chris on the other end of the phone because I could tell his voice, I would still, when you call someone, you say, "Hello, this is Daniel. Is Chris home? Or may I speak to Chris?" And I hated that. I thought it made me sound super dorky. I thought nobody else had to do that. They could just call, and if I picked up, they would just start talking to me. Or if someone else picked up, they would ask for me. Not even ask me, it would just be like, "Dan?" And then the phone would get handed to me. And I just thought this is such a time saver. If I cut out this part of the process, but they insisted on it anytime I called anyone. And I'm really glad for it. And it's the kind of thing that points to a more civilized world that I enjoy. And also gives me a thing to be mad about when other people don't do it. And I'm always looking for reasons to be mad at stuff, things to complain about. So when I call like a business and they just say hello instead of "Hello, this is this business, how may I help you?" then I get to be mad at them for not having the right phone etiquette. I don't get to be mad like to them, but I get to be mad quietly in my home, and that's always fun. I like there's a sense of civility in procedure of calling someone, saying your name and your business, and asking politely for who you're looking for, instead of just calling a house and saying, "Steve?" I like it. I like living in that world.
Yeah, that is nice. There's a language one that my parents did for me as well that I hated at the time, which was they would not listen to the rest of a story that I was telling or a question that I was asking if I said "like" in it at all. And it was "like" was such a crutch for me and for every kid my age that it made me so angry that I wasn't allowed to use it because I couldn't tell when I was using it at all. And I would get so frustrated when they wouldn't listen to me. They just turn away or like actively turn up the radio or whatever they were going to do. And I was so mad about it then. But looking back on it, I think, oh, no, it made me learn how to shut it off, turn it on and shut it off. Because when I was with my friends, I could still use it as much as I want. I use it on the podcast an awful lot. But if I think very hard about it, I won't use it. And I can do that very well in interviews, in places where I need to seem somewhat more professional. I can turn "like" off. And I know a lot of people my age who just can't do it.
I absolutely can't.
Yeah.
And I refuse to even consider trying to do it. I know I didn't use it in the previous two sentences, but I didn't have a reason.
Did you think hard about it?
No.
The reason I'm asking this question is that my son is at an age now where I'm creating these arbitrary rules for him. And they're rules that I look at as investments where I'm like, it's in his best interest in the long run that I do this. I think I'm just sort of gambling that it is. Well, I'll give you an example of one is that at night we read downstairs. He sleeps upstairs, but his sister also does too. So she goes to bed earlier. And when he and I read it, we have to be quiet. So we go way downstairs to do it. And at night he gets real tired after we're done reading. And he says, "Will you carry me up to bed?" And I say, "No." And I want to carry him. I like carrying him. And he wants to be carried. And I have now delegated or I've decided that it's once a week that I allow him to be carried up the stairs to bed. he's only 5 years old, but at the same time, I'm thinking, no, if he wants to be carried to bed, he's going to want to be carried to bed every single night. And then that's going to become the expectation. And then he doesn't know what it's like to continue to do something when you're very tired and you know that you have to do it. And I can justify it in all these different ways where I'm just doing something. I'm insisting on something that neither one of us wants. But my thought is, no, this is making him stronger.
Yeah. He'll never be able to play the flu game if he gets carried every night and you need him to play the flu game one day.
Yeah. It just seems like something. I know that he can do it on his own. He's capable of walking on his own. I know that this is going to translate. It's going to translate into hikes and other, like when we're walking long distances, that he's going to be like, well, why can't you just carry me? Or I don't want to walk this anymore. It's just these like little incremental things build up over time. And I'm just trying to like nip all of them in the bud by being like, I want to carry you to bed. I like carrying you, but we're not doing it.
Is there great pageantry the one night a week when you do carry him?
No, because that's the other thing I'm worried about.
Tied to like reward for something, or is that random?
No, he gets to choose which night of the week it is. I can say, is this the night? Is it important to you tonight? And sometimes he'll say, yeah. And then I will carry him upstairs. But I also don't want to make like a big game out of it either. Where like we do a lot of swinging around, or I do jumps with him, or get up on the couch and jump off, because then it's a thing he wants even more.
Yeah.
So these things I want to do, I think that are fun. Yeah. I just won't do with him. But you know, I would carry him the rest of his life if he'd let me. If they didn't have to live in the rest of the world and we could just be buddies forever, then I'd carry him everywhere. But I can't do that.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. That's sweet as hell. I don't know how we get out of that sweetness into anything else.
Well, the baby ghost, maybe? Is there something more you want to like?
I don't know if there's any more meat on the what I do in that empty apartment bone, because I feel like you and I imagine some of our audience has already turned on me quite a bit for a story that was designed to have me as its hero.
I will say I'm so pleased that in your story about a potentially fraudulent gift card, you accidentally let slip that you've been breaking and entering into apartment every single day to go do push-ups and fuck up the floor.
You have to believe me that you were never supposed to hear that part. It just sort of, it truly happened naturally, as like, oh yeah, I should mention this part of
great, that would have been a good lie to catch them in. I agree.
Yeah.
You have insider information that they don't know you're privy to. And it would be great if they just fucking exposed themselves.
And I genuinely thought, like of anyone in the world, you are my guy for breaking into stuff.
Yeah.
You understand the impulse better than most of, I'm gonna try this doorknob and see if it's open. And if it's open, I can go inside. I thought I found a brother in you that way.
Yes.
And so when I said I've been breaking into this apartment, or you said breaking in, when I said I've been welcomed into this apartment unmolested, I thought you would have just said, sure, of course, and the story would continue with me as its hero.
Because I'm your guy for being welcomed into apartments. If anyone is welcomed into apartments, it's me.
And anytime like I've been locked out of an apartment and I need someone to help me get welcomed back into it, you are my phone call.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I guess it's almost irony that I'm on so many lockpicking websites and vans. All right, well, I guess we could probably wrap up now. I'm going to go find all of the contact information for us. But while I do that, Dan, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk. I assume you probably have at least some shirtless photos of yourself on your phone. And I just want to give you a chance to talk about, just like give an explanation as to why they're on there. Just tell us why you have those.
Yeah, it's very sad. There's so many different iterations of before pictures with no payoff whatsoever. There's just, you could see some that like, there's like a, there's always like a January 1st shirtless picture where I definitely look like shit. Cause it's like, all right, new year. And I'm going to wow everybody after this. They're going to see this transformation when I like really commit to dieting and working out. And I'm going to like make some moves happen. And then like you scroll through the camera roll and there's no shirtless pictures. And then you'll find a worse picture dated March 1st. And it's clear that I'm like, use this one. This is the before picture. This is the before picture now. So I've just been like racking up a bunch of different before pictures that will never see the light of day.
I'm laughing so hard because this is I just did this recently. Where I was like, I've got some weddings coming up. I got to be able to fit in my suit again. Let's turn this into a real process. Let's make a journey out of this. And I took some pictures of myself on my phone and then they just live there. It's gross. Yeah. It's like, I'll be scrolling, looking for pictures of my children and I'll be like, oh God. Or like, I'll take a picture of one of my kids that I want to show my wife and I'll start scrolling and realize that I'm about to hit these fleshy pink ones. I'm like, oh wait, no, no, no. And then they also live on my cloud too. So I get on my computer and if I pull up my photos on my computer, they're there too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm just going to delete all these.
It's crazy that I believe my worst impulses will be in check because I took a picture and there's like a digital paper trail now that like, now that I've taken this picture, then surely I'll be different. And the part of my brain that's usually in control is like, yeah, cute picture. We should get Taco Bell to celebrate that fucking, this grand new plan of yours. We should right. stay up till 3 in the morning eating garbage.
The way I treat myself when I think that I've done something good is way too often yes. for this to ever actually work. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Soren_LTD. You can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow our CFO at Make Me Bacon Please. That's Make Me Bacon PLS. I don't know why you'd want to, other than to talk about money. You can also follow a quick question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. I guarantee at some point somebody's going to check that email and there's going to be, yeah, we'll get back to everybody. We'll be diligent then. You can follow, find, hire our producer, sound engineer, and editor, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. And that's it, folks.
I don't know why that got me so much.
All right, bye.